Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Innovation Forum. I'm Ian Welsh. This is the first in a new series of podcasts over the coming year or so, supported by the Rainforest Alliance, in which we will be focusing on the work of the Accountability Framework Initiative, the new set of norms and guidance for companies and organisations who want to establish, implement, and demonstrate progress on ethical supply chain commitments in agriculture and forestry. Coming up, I will be speaking with Ruth Nussbaum, co-founder and director of ProForest, and David Cleary, director of Global Agriculture at the Nature Conservancy, about their hopes and aspirations for the framework. First, though, here is a discussion I had with the Rainforest Alliance's director of global programmes, Jeff Milder. We consider what the framework is trying to achieve, who it's for, and how it is set up to help users establish commitments, take action, and monitor progress. Jeff, the Rainforest Alliance was one of the original coalition that founded the Accountability Framework. Who was in that coalition?
The coalition that has set up the Accountability Framework is a unique coalition in that it represents environmental and human rights organizations from both the global perspective and from tropical producing countries. It's a broad coalition. Membership includes global organizations like WWF, World Resources Institute, ProForest. It also includes regionally based organizations like Resource Trust in Ghana and human rights based organizations like Social Accountability International and Verite. Back in 2016, when this coalition was initially scoping out the initiative, all of us were quite excited about the commitments that companies were making around deforestation and human rights in the agriculture and forestry supply chains. But we detected a real gap between commitment setting and implementation. So we set out to help close that gap, to accelerate progress in ethical supply chains and also improve accountability.
I guess that was what the framework was set out to achieve. What are the end goals?
Ultimately, our end goals are to significantly reduce deforestation and the conversion of natural ecosystems associated with the production and trade of all agriculture and forestry commodities. Obviously, some of these are very well known, like palm oil, beef, pulp and timber, cocoa, and others. And additionally, our goal is to ensure full respect for human rights for all involved in these commodity supply chains. That includes respect for the rights of indigenous peoples and local communities, as well as workers. And our initiative uses the term ethical supply chain to refer to commodity supply chains that achieve these social and environmental outcomes.
Okay, Jeff, so who is the framework for? I note that you have some very specific user groups.
First and foremost, the framework is for companies working at all stages of the value chain involved in the production or trade of these commodities. So everything from producing companies and processors through to traders, consumer goods manufacturers, retailers, and also financial institutions engaged in these sectors. And I'll say more in a few moments about how companies are applying the framework. Another thing that we set out to achieve with the Accountability Framework Initiative is to achieve greater alignment and convergence in the different tools and standards and monitoring systems that are out there, the alphabet soup of different certification programs and monitoring systems and so forth. Because if we want ethical supply chains to be mainstream globally, we need to be speaking the same language of success. So the framework is also oriented to help guide and inform the development and evolution of other standards and guidelines, reporting and assessment initiatives, and others. And we're working actively with those sorts of groups. Additionally, we're seeing interest in the framework by other civil society organizations. Many of these groups work within producing countries in either an implementation or an advocacy capacity. And being able to ground their work in a common global norm like the Accountability Framework is proving very helpful to them. And finally, there has been interest from governments as well, because many governments in both producing countries and consuming countries are setting up policies and initiatives around social and environmental impacts of the commodity trade. So we see demand side policies and deliberations within the European Union, the UK, and elsewhere. And we also see countries, for instance, in Africa, working on the Africa Palm Oil Initiative, trying to establish more consistent and operational policies around responsible production that can ensure equitable and low emissions development of sectors like palm oil. So the framework is also serving as a common reference point as initiatives like that get off the ground.
Something I like a lot about it is it's clearly been thought through and trying to make it relevant for local producers and communities as well. So it's not just implemented from the top down, it can be and is made relevant and useful for people on the ground and local communities. I guess that was part of the initiative's raison d'etre when it was being set up.
Absolutely. And if we look at part of the challenge of implementing ethical supply chains, it's very well and good for a global multinational based in New York or London to make a commitment, but actually pushing that upstream to the ground to present that in a way that makes sense and is actionable by producers and processors is quite challenging. So we are saying the framework is helpful there in really demystifying a lot of what this is about, what the market expectation is, that there's a series of steps that organizations can follow to meet that market expectation. And at the same time, it gives local communities and workers that might be affected by the commodity sector a stronger voice in accountability systems, which is very important if we want to ensure full respect for human rights on the ground.
The accountability framework has 12 core principles that are set up to help users first set commitments, then take action, and then demonstrate progress. So how does this process work in practice?
We refer to those three stages as the ethical supply chain journey. And within each stage, when you drill down, of course, there's a variety of specific activities or functions that companies need to follow if they want to set up an ethical supply chain. This might be around setting a strong policy or a sourcing code, setting targets and milestones, doing supply chain mapping, setting up verification systems, and so forth. So the way it works is that as companies engage in these different activities as part of their sustainability work, they can follow the framework as a roadmap and a reference for how to do these things in line with the consensus-based norms, definitions, and guidelines that the framework provides. For sophisticated companies, much of this will be pretty familiar, but there's still lots of details and thorny issues that we hear even some of the most advanced companies discussing. How to manage smallholders in their supply chains, how to address issues of non-compliance, and when to retain or exclude suppliers, what level of traceability is required, things like this are all addressed in the framework. For the much larger number of companies that don't have a lot of sustainability capacity on staff, rather than reinvent the wheel, we encourage them to use the framework to really learn from the experience of the past decade and be able to immediately follow the clear norms and best practices on how to implement ethical supply chains. I wanted to mention another thing about the use of the framework. Of course, this notion of an ethical supply chain journey can be sequential, but for many companies, it's really more modular. So we see that in practice, companies might say this year are focusing on developing a new sourcing code or setting up a verification system or rethinking how they do sustainability reporting. Next year, they might do other things. So as they go about these foci within specific time periods, the framework can also be used modularly as really the reference point for each of those activities. So I like to think of the framework not so much as a new set of requirements for companies, but really as a guide to do the sorts of things that companies already need to do, but to help them do so in a way that's aligned with accepted norms, definitions, and good practices.
How does the framework help companies and organizations along the way, moving through the various 12 core principles? How does it help them to share best practices with their peers and to learn the lessons that others have learned?
Part of that comes in how the framework was developed. This was a two-year process. It does reflect the consensus of our coalition. It also very much reflects the experience of companies and service providers and other experts who have been working on the ground and with companies for many years to try to make ethical supply chains work. So through the two-year consultative process we used to create the framework, a lot of that experience is reflected in the guidance you'll see. We very much have tried not just take the theory, but actually the practice and say, this is what works, this is how it's done. These are some of the roadblocks or difficulties you might encounter, and this would be an appropriate response to consider.
So what are the key progress milestones so far for the framework?
One of our key milestones was publishing the framework, which we did in June of this year. And the initiative's attention is now turning to promoting and supporting use of the framework across the main user groups that I just mentioned. And this is being done by all of the members of our coalition. There's a number of other partners we're working with, and also a number of service providers who are already working with the framework or gearing up to do so. So if your company works with service providers, that's another way to help access the framework and put it into action. In the shorter term, what we're looking to see really is that the framework is changing how commodity businesses operate. Because if we want to mainstream ethical supply chains, that is what needs to happen. We see the framework as a way of accelerating that, as a way of people spending less time debating what should be done and more time getting on with it. So those are some of the short-term indicators of success we are looking for, is how different user groups are actually applying the framework to change their business practices.
So Jeff, tell me, who's using the framework right now?
Well, we're glad to see that it's being used by all of the target user groups. So even right after launch, a number of companies have picked it up really as intended. So as a way of incorporating common definitions and approaches into their supply chain management. Companies like Mars, Cargill, McDonald's, Amagi, for instance, are using the framework, referencing it in their definitions, in their position statements or policies around forests and other issues. One of the main challenges the framework is trying to address is how commitments are pushed upstream, closer to origin, to actually address how commodities are produced on the ground. We're working with a number of companies in Indonesia and Malaysia, also in Ghana, Cameroon, in the palm sector, in the rubber sector, to look at ways that the framework can serve initially as a diagnostic of their current business and then as a way of guiding improvements and practices to help institutionalize no deforestation, full respect for human rights, and strong monitoring systems. One of the other areas we're seeing interest is from sector initiatives that are trying to help their members develop common approaches that can help streamline what it means to have an ethical supply chain. So, for instance, the UK Roundtable on Sustainable Soya has been looking at the framework's definitions as a way for their retail members to align on what they're asking their suppliers to provide in terms of responsible soy into the UK market. And of course, this is just the beginning. So conversations with all of these user groups are ongoing.
That comes to my final question then. You talked about some of the short-term things. What do you think long-term or medium to long-term, how would you characterize success of the framework?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, ultimately, we're looking to achieve, I think, what many others are, which is that our forests and natural ecosystems are intact and are storing the carbon that we so greatly need to store, and also that human rights are fully respected in supply chains. Over time, as more and more companies adopt good practices within the framework, we do expect to see the needle shift in terms of impacts on the ground. The other long-term measure of success is really to consolidate the enabling environment around ethical supply chains. So you might remember, those of you who have been listening to these podcasts for several years, 5 years ago, we were spending a lot of time debating definitions of forests, and we were talking about traceability and things like that. We really need to get to common understandings about what good looks like, and we need to have a global notion of that, and then we need to have a way of reflecting that in the norms and standards and monitoring tools that are used in each country, each sector, each segment of the supply chain. And so the framework provides a global umbrella to make that happen. And really what we're trying to do is institutionalize this new way of doing business so we can make ethical supply chains the new normal.
Jeff Wilder, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ian.
And my thanks to Jeff. We will, I hope, hear from some of the users of the framework that he mentioned in future episodes of the podcast. As we've heard already, one of the key features of the Accountability Framework Initiative has been the coalition of stakeholders involved in its inception and development. When I was in London recently at Innovation Forum's Sustainable Landscapes and Commodities Conference, I caught up with two members of that coalition, Ruth Nussbaum from ProForest and David Cleary from the Nature Conservancy. Ruth, what's your involvement with the Accountability Framework?
So ProForest has been involved since very early on in the process, and we've been part of the global steering committee that helped to put it together, but also from our perspective, very importantly, supported the process of both getting input and testing out the versions in the regions where it's mostly applied to, so in Africa and Asia and South America.
Thank you. David, same question to you. What's been your involvement with the framework?
Pretty much the same answer. I'm involved with it since the beginning. We, I think, helped to push the formation of the coalition of NGOs at the start because we recognised it was going to be really important to have a broad coalition of NGOs covering both the environmental and human rights side. And we've also played a role on the steering committee and in helping to ground it in the geographies where it's going to be most important, particularly Latin America, where we have a heavier footprint than in other places.
The collaboration has been really exciting with all the different organisations coming together. So Ruth, what are your hopes and aspirations for the framework?
So I think from the beginning for us, the exciting thing about it is to finally pull together all of the requirements and guidance that we already have. So all of the theory in some ways, so that, again, from our perspective, the most important thing then is to go out and actually do things. And this gives a very solid basis for doing that. I think we still have a lot of hard work ahead of us to understand exactly how it can best be used and how we can use it to make things more effective. But it's really great. And I think increasingly our staff are saying, though, to have something that you can go to and say, oh, if you want to know about that, start with the Accountability Framework. It's a good starting point.
What will be success for you?
that we talk less about what everyone ought to be doing and more about what they are doing and monitor their progress to really focus on the imperfect realities and to chart out and support the pathways from where we are to where we would like to be.
David, same question to you then. What are your hopes and aspirations for the framework?
Well, broadly, that it helps companies implement their commitments around deforestation and human rights more effectively and more quickly, that it resolves the doubts and technical questions that companies often have around how to implement, and that most importantly, it sort of sets clear expectations around performance and in a way that actually drives improvements in performance. And what I think success looks like is that we get a lot more standardization around what companies are doing to implement commitments. I mean, obviously success in the final analysis is going to be lower levels of deforestation and land conversion and better implementation of human rights commitments. And hopefully the accountability framework will help lead to that.
Great, thank you very much. Over the next year, we will see how the Accountability Framework Initiative progresses and meets David and Ruth's expectations. And we will be talking to framework users to help track and assess how they are using the framework to develop more sustainable and deforestation-free supply chains. That's it for now, though. I've been Ian Welsh, and until next time, goodbye.